Today's Perek B'Tanach Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Dalet. The last thing that we learned was the falling apart of Shaul when everybody started to scatter. And that, in fact, this was very similar to the milchama that we found by Gideon, that HaKadosh Baruch was perfectly happy to have everybody scatter. It was the test of Shaul, of his ability to accept that he doesn't need to work things out. And that if the Shmuel had told him to wait, that requirement of waiting is central. We saw that from the Egel, all the way back, Boshesh Moshe Laredet Minahar, and more profoundly, in the Maisa of the Chet of Adam Arishon, where over there, as Chazal point out, obviously the Eitz HaChaim is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have, but in eating it prematurely, you end up losing out. And then it becomes, now you're not able to handle what you're doing. And the very Eitz HaChaim that was B'toch HaGan becomes the Eitz HaDat Tov V'Ra. So from the beginning, there was a problem with the sense that a human being has of being able to make things work out. And that is essentially what a melech cannot do. You cannot make things work out. If you are, then you're a mechanical moshel. And the concept of malchut is to allow for emergence. And emergence is specifically through relying on the way that situations that anyway are out of your control develop to be able to express the ratzon Hashem. This is central to malchut. It's so central that it becomes the essential test of David's malchut as well. It's not only Shaul's malchut. So David is placed again and again in positions where he could have influenced the outcome with a simple movement of his hand. And he said, you must be crazy if you think that I'm supposed to kill Shaul to become the melech. Wait, this proves something that Shaul is presented to me as a victim? Maybe what it proves is that I'm not an idiot. That's what it proves. Not that I'm supposed to be acting physically against Shaul. And the same thing happens when he's Molech B'Chavron and he refuses to go further until everybody comes and accepts him. This is, I have no interest in making things happen at all. The exact opposite of what Shaul expresses. In this, today's parak, we're going to find, unfortunately, the same tendency again. And as I mentioned yesterday, Yonatan was not part of this at all. He was the one that started up with the representative of the Plishtim, and wasn't concerned with the fact that they didn't even have any weapons, which in and of itself was the indication that it was absurd to worry about how many soldiers you have. You're talking about an army with 30,000 tanks, and you have a bunch of foot soldiers that don't have any weapons, but you're worried about how many men you have. And that's crazy. So Yonatan, who went ahead now and started up, continues in today's parak to complete what he began. Shaul, who became so terrified that the Plishtim are coming down, what am I supposed to do? And I had to react. And so he was the one that remains paralyzed. So he only has the 600 men that were with him. And Yonatan is alone, basically, because everyone had moved up when Shmuel had moved. They had all moved. So here, Vayayom, and so it's the day, we said it's Vayabayom Milchemet, is the way we closed the previous parak, Vayabayom Milchemet. That's a beautiful, it's not Bayom Milchama, it's the Milchemet. Remember we had this discussion about Atara versus Ateret, right? It's the same idea, the essence of the thing. And this was the day, Vayayom. So here comes the day, and there are no weapons. Vayomer Yonatan ben Shaul, now for the first time he's introduced as ben Shaul. And we know that it was not so simple. The relationship that we saw yesterday was the whole point was that Yonatan was closer to the Ish Kilavavi that Shmuel was searching for than his own father was, which accounts for his own attraction to David, because here it's basically Kilvavam. So Yonatan acts the way David would have acted. And this starts driving Shaul crazy already. So it goes now, here's the day, no weapons, no soldiers. Vayomer Yonatan ben Shaul el hanar nosei kelav. So he's got this boy with him that's carrying his weapons. Remember that he and his father were the only ones that had weapons. You know what? L'chav v'na'abraham matzav plishtim ha'shem e'ever halaz. L'aviv lo yigid. Why don't we just cross over? Remember that we were speaking about the plishtim on one side and Yisrael on the other side, and there was the guy that was the valley in between, very deep valley. And he says, let's just go over there. Now, what's happening, he didn't say anything to his father about this. Now, Shaul is Yoshev B'Ktzeh Giva, Tachat HaRimon Asher B'Migron. So he's sitting now at the edge of the Machane, and he's got his total, he's underneath this Rimon, famous Rimon. V'am Asher Imo K'shesh Meot Ish. He's got these 600 men approximately that are still with him. V'achia ben Achituv, Achi Ikavod ben Pinchas ben Eli Kohen Adonai B'Shilo, Nosei Efod. Now this is background. It's very important background because the Gemara uses it as a raya that Pinchas could not have sinned. Because if Pinchas had sinned, it's absurd to talk about him now when you're introducing the nosei ephod. All you need to say is Achia ben Achituv Achi Kavod, right? Or you could have just said that he's Eli's grandson. And said now it becomes Ben Pinchas, Ben Eli, Kohen Hashem. So obviously you're talking about a darga in which Tzidkis is central. The Kohen Hashem, this is Eli. Referring back to Eli, because obviously Shiloh doesn't exist. The Kohen Hashem, but Shiloh was Eli. So Pinchas is now clearly on the darga of Eli. Therefore, Rav brings a raya that since now the two sons of Eli are compared, so Ma Pinchas obviously was lo chata, must be that neither of them were chata. And therefore, we come up with the explanation that it was clearly only in the sense of being ma'acher, the korbanot, and there never was any sin that had any true active sexual content. That's his raya, his gufa, from this pasuk, that we should be medayek, the shochvot as mashkivot. Okay, now this is background, and we'll see in a moment why it's important. He's carrying an ephod. Okay. Meanwhile, Ha'am lo yadaki alach Yonatan. Yonatan had gone off on his own. Nobody knew that he had gone off. It's clear already in this pasuk that the meaning of an ephod would be to give information, because nobody knows. So what happens is, we have now, ubein ha-ma'abirot, ashebikesh Yonatan la'avor, al-matzav plishtim, to go across this guy, which is another way of saying it is bein ha-ma'abirot. So you have the wadi now between the two high edges on either side. There was an immense shein hasela me'aever mizeh, v'shein hasela me'aever mizeh. You had now on either side an outcropping of very strong rock that it was so clear that it was a very bolate outcropping. They actually had given them names. So shein echad botzetz, v'shein echad sene, hashein echad matzuk mitzafon mul michmas. So one of these now was now set up there to the north, facing now Michmas. The other one was to the south, facing Geva. So Echad Minegev Mul Geva. So you have now a difficult situation, the two groupings. And remember, the Plishtim are so overconfident that they took their entire army and split it into the three Rashim, figured that they'll destroy as much as they could destroy. They don't even have to worry about the Jews, there's nothing to worry about. So all they want to have is the Mashchit. So they don't have their entire army concentrated. So what they do is, in other words, they have these groups, they come around various cities, put them into siege, and they figure they'll destroy as much as they can destroy. So there's a group of Plishtim that are on the other side of this Ma'aver. So, Vayomer Yonatan el Anar Nosei Kelav, so then going back now, this was setting it all up, okay? Going back now to where we began. So what did he tell? So he says to the boy, why don't we just go? L'chava nabra matzav ha'arei lima ela. These idiots, well, who cares about them? Ula yaseru nailanu. Who cares what we need all 600 men? There's no difference between 2 men and 600 men, basically. I mean, we start with 30,000 men. There's no difference between 30,000 men against 300,000 men and 30,000 tanks than there would be in 2 people. We might as well just go ourselves. What do we got to wait for all of these cowards? We'll go up there on our own. You never know. What's the difference? Lots of people, few people, who cares? Boss, whatever you say. I say, you move, I follow. And this kilvavecha is very telling because it's the same word that was used when Shmuel tells Shaul, it's all over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for somebody, kilvavo. So Vayomer.
Once your son had a nest, it just doesn't matter.
It was clear to Yonatan that this wasn't going to happen with the Derech HaTeva. And Lamaisa, the Neviut was go and it'll be okay. Hashem will be matzliach b'yatcha.
Do we know who this
Anar is? No, I don't have information on it. Quite a boy, huh? Vayomer Yonatan. So Yonatan says like this: Look, hinei anachdo ovrim ela anashim. I say what we do is like this. Let us show ourselves to the Plishti. Let's see how they react. If they'll say, just sit there, guys. We'll be right down. So then they still have guts. So then we don't go up and fight them. And then we won't go up there. But if they say to us, hey, come on up. So then that means that we're on the Aliyah. They're not really so confident to come down and fight us. So we'll go up. That should be the sign. Now here, of course, there's all tremendous questions about, is it mutter to do this? Right? This is becomes now kol, as the Gemara puts it, kol nachash she'ino ke Eliezer Eved Avram and ki Yonatan ben Shaul eino nachash, which seems to be saying that it's an isur nachash. Say that it says the Radak, that's ridiculous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring teshuah through nachash, and that we're using it to show that it's usur. Can't mean that it's usur. So he goes through the whole Gemara and Chulin. It's very long, Chelik in the Radak, in which it's clear that the Balaam, Rav himself, makes simonim in the Gemara. Same Gemara, right afterwards. So he would say, if the ferry is there when you get down to the river, that's a good sign. You're darn right it is. I say, the bus is there when I get, it's a great sign. So it says the Radak, the point over here is Nachash means, and it's brilliant. All the Rishonim have different approaches, but his approach is so brilliant. He says, to be Menachesh never is meaningful unless you define it up front. It doesn't mean Iser Nachash. Iser Nachash is this weird stuff that, you know, superstitious Bishagasin. It doesn't mean things that make sense. You know, a black cat crossed my path. There's a ladder. Don't walk under the ladder. If so this and this happened, it must be a sign. Stupid. So that's Chalokim HaBavaris Kechadim. What he's referring to over here is Nachash in the sense of define for yourself an oath. That makes sense. So what he's doing over here is trying to look into, into the rationale. What's their psychology? Yeah. But what does it mean in the Gemara? The Gemara is saying to take a simen from something that happens is just stupid. Because things always happen. So how do you know it's a simen? It happened. In order for it to be meaningful, you need to set it up in up front, the way Yonatan did, the way Eliezer did. So if Stam, a girl, would have come to Eliezer and says, let me take care of your camels, that wouldn't mean anything. If you set up in the beginning and you say, if somebody comes, and then that happens, then that's a pretty powerful siman. That's all that it means. Right? It's brilliant.
He'd say after the fact, that's a sign.
Yeah, that means nothing. Everybody's always fighting after the facts. That's always, you know, great. So that's beautiful, beautiful pshat. But, okay, but others are really reduced to saying, you know, things like, well, he wasn't doing it for himself. He wanted to be Mechazik the Nar. It was says the Radak, I understand. God himself did this to Gita, right? And didn't say, no, you're a bad boy. And and Shmuel gave simonim. Maybe that doesn't bring. But it's clearly all of these things are meant there for a purpose. So what he's saying is, look, we can analyze their psychology. They're clearly not, there must be pachad Hashem bil vavam if they're afraid to come down, as Rashi says. So that means that already netanam Hashem biyadenu. And this is a good out. Fine. So they show themselves. Hee! Right, so they waved to the plishtim. This is after they kept. They're at the bottom here. Then they show themselves to the matzav plishtim. Vayomer plishtim said, "Oh, look at this! Some of those Jew boys coming out of the holes where they're always hiding." So vayanu anshei matzavat Yonatan v'tnasekelav. They say to him, "Alu aleinu, hey, how about coming up? We got some things to teach you, little boys." Come here, we're going to teach you a little lesson. Says Yonatan, that's it. Vayomer Yonatan on the Sekilav, Ale Acharai, follow me. Kinetanam Adonai Biyad Yisrael. So he has to crawl up, you understand now. He's crawling up a hill. They could just knock him off. He's just crawling up, right? Vayel Yonatan on Yadav
Araglav. It's two people.
Two people.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. This is Malchus. Yeah. This is the Yonatan carried the real Malchus of the strength of Shaul. So he's going and scrolling up on hands and knees. And the Nosekela Vacharav. And there he gets up there Vayiplu Lifnei Yonatan Vinosekela Mimotetacharav. He starts getting them. He doesn't have time to finish killing them because he moves on to the next guy. He's got the Nosekelav behind him finishing them off. So Nosekelav is Mimotetotam. He just wounds them. You take care of them. He knocks them off. Goes on to the, yeah. So, Vatiya Makari Shonah Shirikayonatan Nosekelav. The first attack, like before they even gathered their wits about them, he kills about 20 of them. And it's not like that they were scattered. They were all in this small area, which is about half of a ma'aneh. A ma'aneh is the amount at which you would normally go in one one direction with your plow. You know, so in other words, these people were all up one against the other. You know, it's not as if, like, he got one and then another one comes running and he gets the other one. They're all there, right? So he hits them right away. They get about 20 people. By the way, this is Nogea Ot Kivrat Aretz. Ot Kivrat Aretz could mean the amount that you plow. So it's the Kivara where you make the... So Ot Kivrat Aretz could be also the Ma'aneh. We use the same thing for the Shear of Binkeneh for Chazaka. That you have to go Melo Ma'ana, that was the Shaykh, when he went Ma'an Yom, but that's the Chazak of the arts. But anyway, it was the way that they measured things. Yeah?
Yaakov and Rabbah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But the whole Simon to Shol was about Binyamin, and that they were coming from Kever Rachel. And as a matter of fact, there's even Rishonim who say that Bedavka, he wanted to bury Rachel in Binyamin. And it didn't want to take her to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, which would force Binyamin to go to Yehuda. He wanted to give the Hashivas to Binyamin. Some of the Mamash say that about when his whole speech to Yosef, where he's saying, I know you're angry that I didn't bring her to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, but I did it on purpose. That's one shot is that's why I did it on purpose. In any event, so they don't know what happened to them. What's going on over there? They figured there must be Jews popping up all over. Vatihi charadam machane basadeh. Remember that they had separate groups. They had a mutzav where they had besieged the people. They put up now representatives over there with people waiting outside if anybody tried to escape, the cities. And this is a group that's out there in the field for the main attack. And now, like, everybody's looking around. The matzav, the mashchit. I mean, they see that something terrible is happening back in the field. They don't know what's happening. They also get terrified. So, chordu gam hema. They say, oh my gosh, what's going on? Where all of a sudden there's a surprise attack by the Jews. Vatirgaz ha'aretz vatile chardat Elohim. That chardat Elohim is the same lashon that happened with Yaakov Avinu by Shechem. There's three places, Chazal point out, where we have this, the Umas want to come and fight. There's a chardat Elohim. They don't know what happens to themselves. So this is one of them. Vayiru hatzofim l'Shaul begivat Binyamin. Now there's lookouts and they see crazy things going on. Vinei ha'amon namog vayelech v'alom. And all of a sudden, all they could see is movement, and the people are scattering, and it's just melting away. The whole mitzvah of the plish, what the heck? And there's some kind of helem is falling upon the plish team. So the lookouts, the tzofim, for Shaul. Now Shaul has no idea that anybody left. Somebody did this. Take a census quickly. Who's missing? It's a wild scene. Who's missing? Yonatan. So Shaul says to Achia, who was the one that we said before was going to be able to go to the Urim V'Tumim, Hagisha Aron Elohim, bring the Arayin. Ki Aron haya Aron Elohim b'yom ahu u'vnei Yisrael. Now, Lamaisa, this is a big machlokas, what this means. Because there's one man, the Omar, in Yerushalmi, who holds, and I mean, the machlokas that I brought here, it's brought in the Bavli as well, but in slightly different context. Was there one Aron or were there two Aron? In other words, was the Luchot, the Shivrei Luchot, and the Sefer Torah all in an Aron, or were they separate? Because the Aron really is Kiryat Yarim. What in the world was it doing over here? Therefore, Taina's Reb Yehuda ben Lakish, that what it must be referring to over here is another Aron. The battle Aron, which had the Shivrei Luchot, and the main Aron with the Luchot, the Sefer Torah, that was left in Kiryat Yarim, where it belongs. Asks the Gemara, and if you don't know there were two Aronot, so how do you explain this? So they explain Aron Elohim, not the Aron HaBrit, but rather the box that held the Bigdei Kohuna and the Tzitz, because the Kohen, in order to be able to use the Urim V'Tumim, has to get dressed in Shemona Begadim. So he has to wear all Shemona Begadim, so they had that in an Aron. This was the Aron in which you ask God, so to speak. It was the Aron Elohim. No, because that was always a temporary thing. So vayi adiber Shaul el hakohen. So they were now speaking. Meanwhile, the tzofim are coming. Listen, the whole place is falling apart over there. It's going to pieces. And so Shaul says, "Vayomer Shaul hakohen, asof yadecha." Forget it. We don't have any time to ask the Urim V'Tumim. I mean, this is. outrageous. So the Gemara goes through, the Medrash goes through, what were the issues that were involved in the loss of the Malchus for Shaul? This is one of them. I mean, you put in a telephone call, you know, God, I got something to... Never mind. What? Who was that?
Who was that?
It's like, this is crazy. So, clearly, it was again. He didn't have the patience. Says the Medrash, look at this. Shaul, the moment that the guy comes, they're breaking apart. No. So fine, so wait a minute. Yeah, they're breaking apart. David, when the police were already on him in Emek Rephaim, he says, bring the Urim V'Thummim. What's the rush? Everybody's going, what's the rush? Bring the Urim V'Thummim. What do you mean, what's the rush? They'll be here in 5 minutes. Fine. Shaul is in the middle of using the Urim V'Thummim. No, it's Sofya Dech, we got no time. So this, again, it's the same idea that happened before in the previous parak. And so, Vayizaik Shaul v'cholam asherito v'yavo ad hamilchama. So they immediately joined the fracas over here. They don't know who's on what side. And the reason they don't know who's on what side is fantastic. Because they have enslaved the Ivrim. So they have Ivrim with them in the war that they've conscripted, the Plishtim, that they've conscripted as soldiers. And now those Ivrim turn about, and there's a fifth column in the middle of the Plishtim. Right? So by Ivrim, hayu lePlishtim ket moshil shom asher alu imam bebachane saviv. So in all of the campaigns of the Plishtim, they had these Jews that they had conscripted like they did with all of the people that they had enslaved. So they had Jews there. So now, all of a sudden, the Jews see they're losing control. So they immediately join forces with Yonatan and turn on them. Now they don't know who's on what side. They start killing people at random, killing themselves, thinking that maybe this guy's a Jew. So it's a wild story. So of course they turn around now. So now they've got a fifth column. They don't know what. Oh, they're surrounded, basically, because they were all over the place. And now, we saw before that they had scattered. There were 30,000 people. They were all hiding out in various caves and so on. So they joined too. So they also come out. And here again we have the reference to Tziat Mitzrayim that we've had. Vayosha Adonai Bayom Ahu et Israel. And we saw again and again the way that this was paralleled, the Yeshua of Hashem through Shaul and the comparison to Moshe in Tziat Mitzrayim. This is like the closing of that story. So we take exactly those words. Vamilchama avra et bat beit aven. That means that they were chasing them for miles. The ish Yisrael nigas bayomahu. This is also a play on word. Because it started off that Bnei Yisrael were nigas, niksim, al yedei plishtim. Here it turns around that they were under such pressure to kill as many plishtim as possible. Shaul didn't give them time to even rest. Because vayol Shaul et ha'am lemor arura isha sheyochal lechem ad ha'arev. Nobody takes a break even to eat something. I don't want a candy bar, you understand? Lechem means general achila. Until tonight, we're moving. V'nikamti mi'oivai v'lo ta'am kol ha'am lechem. And so they didn't eat the whole day.
Is that also a mistake?
Yes, we'll see. V'chol ha'aretz. Oh, the mi'oivai? No, I don't think so, because we'll see later on that's fine. Ayev of the Melech is Ayev of Yisrael. V'chol ha'aretz bo'u b'yo'ar. So now, they're passing through, the entire company here, comes into this forest. Vayi dvash al pnei ha'sadeh, and so some learn that it's talking about a sugarcane field that has a den of trees. But lemaisa, we know that the Gemara uses this parsha as a raya that dvash dvorim has a din of growing in a ya'ar, in terms of taking it out of the kaveret on Shabbat.
It's yara.
Yara dvash. It's yarat dvash. So now they come into this area, which is a normal yar, but there's the kavarot all over the place. They would make these kavarot out of cheres. And then the bees would populate it and make honey. And the honey was dripping all over the place. It was very attractive to people who needed very desperately a sugar high. They've been going all day, chasing plishtim. And there's dvash opnei asadeh. Vayavo amal ayar v'nei helech dvash. They're coming in there, and there's dvash gushing all over from them. V'ein masig yado el piv, the entire, wasn't one person who took any of that dvash, ki yorea amet ha-shvu'ah, because he had cursed anyone. And they were very yorei. Remember that back at the Bimber, this all starts again from Gilgal, and there they had gone to Ai, and they knew the disaster when somebody had made a cherem, and then they went ahead and they were pegeh on the cherem. And if you recall, back at that time, the one thing that Yehoshua learned from them, who was warned, is no more charamim. You just do what you got to do, but don't start playing games with shvuas and aror and klola. Shaul did the wrong thing in doing this. This is a lesson that had been learned 300 years earlier. But okay, people were careful. There's only one person who wasn't careful. Yonatan. But Yonatan lo shama ba'ashbia aviv et ha'am. He wasn't with them. But, as the Rishonim point out, he knew darn well something was funny. I mean, they're walking through honey and nobody takes any and people are desperate. So he could have found out. He understands something is funny. He wasn't there. So, Vayishlach et k'tzei ha-mateh asher b'yado. He sticks out his mateh. Vayitbol ota b'yarat ha-dvash. He sticks it into honeycomb. And he just licks a little honey. Vayoshev yado el piv, vatorona enav. And he becomes, wow. So now his eyes are bright. He was really worn out. You get that half-dead look. And we learn out from here that if somebody's affected by bulimia, so on Yom Kippurim, he's supposed to take, he can eat. Because Vatarona enough, that becomes the simen. Lamaisa, they talk out, but he really wasn't affected. Bulimia is not what we use today as bulimia, but is an actual state in which there's such a desperate need for sugar that you could actually die. So then, of course, it would have been mutter him for him to eat. The case, but Lamaisa was not in great shape. Vatarona enough. So somebody says to him, hey, Vayan Ishmi Am Vayomer, Hashbeya Ishbi Avicha Ta'am Limor, Orura Isha Sher Yochal Lechem Ayom. Hey, you weren't supposed to do that. Vayoaf Am, I mean, look at this, everybody is half dead, because nobody took anything. You're the Melech's son. Vayomer Yonatan, oh, he did that too? Achara Vieta Aretz. It's a brilliant move. I mean, it's limits, you know. So now he screwed up with this, because now everybody, I mean, look at this. Everybody's half dead, and now everybody's unhappy. Everybody is miserable. For what purpose? Ru'una, take a look at me. Ki uru enai. Ki ta'amti ma'at dvash. I took a little bit of dvash. So I don't know what he's thinking. Avki lua chola chala yoma amishlalo ivav. I mean, and what would have been so terrible if people would have had, they would have taken the things that they had taken from the plishtim? It would have, besides the physical nourishment, it would have been psychological nourishment. You really think that we would have killed fewer plishtim? I guarantee you we would have more plishtim. So what's the point of this? Ooh, this is tough stuff. Oh yeah. So vayaku bayoma huba plishtim mi michmas ayalona vayafa amaot. He had them going the entire day, and they were desperate. So vayataam el hashalal. So then in the evening they were like just completely overwhelmed. They turn now to the shalal. Vaykhud son uvakart. It's actually not only turning to, but it's a lashon that has the same letters of the ayat. Yeah, exactly. It's like there's this desperation that's over there. But we see it later on. Vatat el hashalal later. When it comes to Amalek, so it means to turn to something, right? The Targum is itpanita, which is turning to. So they are desperate. Vaikutsonu vakar uvnei vakar vayishkatu arza, and they just check this with the blood dripping on the ground. Vayochal ha'am al hadam. So now, not clear what that means. What is vayochal ha'am al hadam? Actually, a big machlokas. So some say it means al hadam, that they didn't give enough chance for the blood to drain, and therefore they were over on achilas dam, because they were, if you don't give enough opportunity, that's why according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to also cut the carotid artery in order to make sure that the dam goes out. So some say it means that they were nichshal in being makshed the meat. Others learn what they did over here is they were magdish korbanot shlamim, and you're only supposed to eat after zrikas hadam. They were so hungry, they didn't check to see that whoever they'd given to be zerik hadam had been zerik. Remember, it's a bomber here. These are the years of no givon. There's no still Nov. There's no fee of going to Beit HaMikdash or going to Shiloh. So they ate Al Hadam in that sense. Others learn al adam means that the meat became covered with dam because it was on the ground and it was disgusting. So it's and also, you know, there might have been nichshon some of the dam that wasn't washed off. It was just a sense of hefkerut. It was too much of a taiva for it. People weren't organized. And so vayomer Shaul. Oh, sorry. Yeah, this is already after the chase. This is because they were desperate. So it was one of the totsa'ot. So Shaul basically blamed himself for this, as we'll see. So vayagidu l'Shaul le'mor. They told Shaul that hinei am chotim l'adonai lechol al adam. Oh, it was extreme. Hayom begadtem. What kind of business is this? Gulu elai hayom even gedolah. Come here and bring me, we'll set up a boma right here, and I will personally take charge of the kachin and see to it. I'll check according to Warman the Omar, but it's actually, this is where we learned the din of a chacham being Beidek Asaki, because it says over here, Vayomer Shaul putzu ba'am, spread it out, nafots. V'amartam, I want messengers all over the place. Higishu elai, I need to be personally brought, ish shoro, ish seyo, Ushchaten bazeh. What's the bazeh? The sakin. So he checked all of their sakinim. So you see from here that the chacham needs to check a sakin.
Well, how is that going to
happen? No. He took charge of the whole issue. Then there's going to be a central boma. People will wait until things are done properly. And that's what some are saying. That they weren't properly caring for the sakinim. You know, they did a quick bedika instead of doing it right. So he takes it. Hold on a second now. Here's the sakins of shchita. This is the way to be baidek. This is an amazing sense of Shaul not taking responsibility for the tzitzit of his mice. I'll take care of it myself. Vayugishu kol ha'am ish sharo biyado alayla, vayishchatu sham, vayiven Shaul. Oh, sorry, I skipped, huh? Volotech et o ladunay lechol al adam. This is not the way to eat. Vayagishu kol ha'am ish sharo biyado alayla, vayishchatu sham. So here's a machlokes. Does that mean that you're allowed to do a shchita and akrova b'layla if it's on a boma? According to Ramad Yomar, there's no din of yom. Normally, it's a din b'yom tzavoto that we learn out that all the dinim of kachim, the karbonis, and everything that needs to be done is only kosher b'yom. But maybe over here means kosher b'layla. The other Ramad Yomar says no. There's no heter of layla by a boma. There's two separate things here. Notice that it says again yisho. This is talking about chulin. The previous one was talking about kachim. So in Achinami, they separated out. Vayiven Shaul Mizbeach Ladunai, Oto Echel Livnot Mizbeach Ladunai. That was the first. There were a series of places that Shaul built Mizbechot. This was the first time that Shaul took on that behavior. Okay. So everyone eats Beit Aven. So everyone eats. Vayomer Shaul. Okay. Let's get back to the chase. Now everybody's eating. Yeah, now there's people, of course. Nirda achrei plishtim laila. Let's go overnight. They must be completely exhausted, scattered. This is a chance to get rid of the plishtim. V'navozavayam ad or boker. V'lo nasher b'am ish. Let's not leave one of them alive. Vayomru, so the Yom says, kol atov b'nech asei. We're with you. Vayomer hakohen. Nikrava alom el Elohim. So he calls the Kohen to bring the Urim V'Tumim, and he's going to ask whether it's a good idea. Vayishal Shaul b'Elohim, ha'ireda achrei plishtim, shall I follow the plishtim, ha'titnein b'yad Yisrael. I'm not going to get fooled by that problem again. You'll tell me to go, and then I'll get killed. I want two answers. Do I go, and do I win? Then I'll decide. There was no response. Uh-oh. So he immediately, not only was there no response, Chazal say, the Evan of Binyamin stopped shining. So he realized something is terribly wrong. Must be an eye problem again. Pigia in the Cheren. Go shalom kopi no tam. I want everybody here. We have to find out what's going on. Udu uru b'ma'i ta'chatata zotayon. Somebody's screwing up big time. We'll see. He certainly had a suspicion because of the way he sets things up. Ki chai Adonai Moshiach Yisrael, I swear to God who saved Yisrael today. Ki im yeshno b'yonatan b'ni, ki mot yamut. I don't care who it is. It could be my own son. He dies. Ve'inonu mikolam. Nobody says anything. Vayomer al kol Yisrael. Okay, fine. Let's start easy. Attempt you le'ever achad v'ani v'yonatan b'ni ni'el ever achad. Let's put a goral. Me and my son on one side, the rest of the country on the other side. Do what you gotta do. We're not getting involved. Let this goral be honest. So Yonatan and Shaul were the only ones that came up. Okay, says Shaul. Now, hapilu beni uveni Yonatan beni. Now let's see. Was it me or was it him? Vayilaked Yonatan. Vayomer Shaul Yonatan. Gina li masita. You rotten kid. So what did you do? Vayaged lo Yonatan. What did I do? I'll tell you what I did. Ta'om ta'amti b'kseh amateh asher b'yadi. Ma'at vash. Okay? Here I am. Kill me. Inani amut. Okay? Ready to die. Yeah? That's what you want? Because I taste a little bit of dvash. Makes a lot of sense. But sure, kill me. Go ahead. This is a very, very tough interaction. Vayomer Shaul, absolutely, buddy. Ko yaaseh Elohim v'cho yosif. Ki mo tamut Yonatan. He's dead. Vayomer Amal Shaul. Yonatan yamut. Asher asah Yeshua gedola zot b'Yisrael. He's the only one that did anything, if you think about it. Chalila. Chai Adonai mipo misarot v'sho harza. Clearly, everything he did today was with God. So how would they? All kinds of, they say, Shogeg, he was amazing, he didn't know. Or you only said lechem, and he only took dvash. Or they were paid to him with gold. All kinds of, whatever it was, the argument itself, they pushed this. They were mater the matter. So you could be mater cher. So here over here, it was aldat ha-kahal. The kahal said, no way, chalila. He wasn't going to do the old Yiftach shtick again. No, I mean, these are themes. These are very important thematic issues. To what extent is a neder of a melech, you know, inviolate? Now, this was the problem with Yiftach. What? I'm going to go get a heter for my neder. So then Pinchas couldn't have come and told him, are you crazy? I'm going to go to him. I'm the Kohen Gadol. I'm going to go. Okay, so this he wasn't going to repeat. So Lemaisa, the Rishonim talk about him. What was this thing that he wanted to kill? So Reb Sadia Gaon writes, they bring Reb Sadia Gaon, you know, the Makorim, the Rishonim bring Reb Sadia Gaon, that he wrote a tshuva that it was absolutely essential that Shaul make it clear that there was no nepotism. Because nepotism means that you give special attention to your family. There's no nepotism. So in other words, he had to make them say, no way. How can you kill Yonatan? But from his point of view, it had to be, I don't care who it is, because it needed to be clear to them that he was absolutely honest and that a cherem was meant to apply across the board. Unfortunately, because of this whole maisa, which had started with his cherem, they couldn't chase the plishtim. First of all, they weren't going to go without the Urim Thummim. The Urim Thummim refused to respond because of this whole maisa. It's good to know when God's upset. And it took so long until this was done. Anyway, it was already too late. I mean, the whole idea was to get them while it was hot. We lost the advantage. So we had to let them off.
He became now strengthened in his hold on the kingdom and on the Malkut of Israel. And there was no one who doubted him anymore. And at this point, he was successful in all of his wars, despite the fact that he knew that Shmuel had told him that there was no future, no long-term future. Mamlachtcha lo takum. That's true. But nonetheless, he continued to attempt to maintain, and that would be lachad, to hold on to. And he fought his wars, vayilachim saviv b'chol o'ivav, fought all around, all of the directions in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we now actually go with a list of every Malchus that he fought, and we do it in the order, starting now from southeast, going up to the north, moving now towards the west, and going back all the way around to the southwest. And so, he fought Bimoav. Again, we don't know the details of any of these wars, and all of this is the description of what he managed to do in the short time that he was Melech. So he did fight Bimoav. We know that he fought Bivnei Amon. That was, of course, the Melchema that began his Malchut with Nachash Amoni. Uve Edom. Apparently, he also fought Edom. And the Edomim were also in the southeast. They were on Eivor HaYarden, as you can see on your map. Uva Malchitzova, this is, wow, this is Aram Tzova. This is all the way up north. And this is, it's actually in the Damascus area. And this is becomes Aram Tzova later, in the days of David. And apparently there were a lot of various city kings, Malchitzova, And he, at this time, had expanded, that means, all the way into the area that were first made it impossible for the B'nai Reuven to fight and to get their Nachala. And indeed, in Devre Hayamim, we see that there were wars that were being fought by Reuven during this period of Malchus Sha'ul, and they were able at that point to go and expand all the way up to the area of Lavo Midbara, Lemina Nahar Prat. So that means they got to the Euphrates, and that apparently it was Sha'ul himself that was involved in doing that war, although we're not told of the details over here. And so all in all, we just go in one pasuk, we talk about the sum total of what it was that he was fighting during those days and how it is that he attacked everyone. And he moved from there now to the Plishtim. And again, we saw that, unfortunately, the Plishtim were going to be a long-term investment. And everywhere that he turned, he always was able to tear apart his enemies. And unfortunately, there's also a remez here, of course, Yarshia, which Chazal tell us means that Sha'ul, because of what it was that he had failed in, and that he was unwilling to teach the Torah that he had, or unwilling to review and listen to, just as he would, did not want to listen to people who would attack his approach in terms of his political decisions. He did not listen to those who would attack his approach in learning. And because of that, he was Mashiach in the sense of the halacha never being like him. And this was something that, indeed, when David came along, this drove Sha'ul crazy, as we'll see. We'll get to the Gemara that discusses that later. Vayas chayil, vayachet amalek, vayatzel et Yisrael miyad shosim. He always went to go and save Yisrael from the shosim. Of course, this b'chol asher yifnei Yarshia has a double meaning, which Chazal later on will use as a contrast to David. When we get there, we'll speak of it. Vayu v'nei Sha'ul, Yonatan, v'yishvi, u'malkishua. Now we'll see that there were other sons, and that these sons are also presented, there's Ishbosheth later we're going to talk about, but these were the ones that appear in the Milchama with him, and these, even though they appear with other names in Divrei Hayamim. Shem Shtei Benotav, and he had two daughters, Shem HaBechira Meirav, v'shem HaKitana Michal. Now nobody knows what particularly these names are. But it's clear that this is a reference back to the meeting of Esav and Yaakov. So Yaakov says Yeshli Ko, and Esav says Yeshli Rav, and from there we learn out that that's the essential difference between Yisrael and Esav. That for Esav it's never really enough. He says, no, I have more than I need, more, which means that you're interested in more. Whereas Yaakov is saying, whatever I have is always enough. So it's Mikol, right? So this now becomes relates to the Bakol and the Brocha, to Avram Avinu. And so he absorbed now in, this is Nogea that it really, because you see, Dovin HaMelech is called Edom, he's Adomi, and he's Keneged Edom. And this is Binyamin now, that appeared, that Maisa with Binyamin was very Nogea, that meeting with Sha'ul, that Yosef was protecting, and for the latest Binyamin that was to come, so he was protecting Sha'ul. So he named his daughters after that issue. One is called Rav, and one is called Kol. One comes from Rav, and one comes from Kol. V'shem Eshet Sha'ul Achinoam, Bat Achimaatz, V'shem Sar Tzva'o Aviner, who was the son of Ner, who was the dod of Sha'ul. But remember that Kish, Avi Sha'ul, and Ner, Avi Aviner, was a Ben Aviel, but Aviel's name was also Ner. So this was Aviner, Ben Ner, Ben Ner. That was the schus, remember, that he had, that he would be Mavik Nerot for the Rabbim. So this was somebody had a lot of schuyot of bringing light to Yisrael. V'tehi ha-milchama chazaka pelishtim kol yemei Sha'ul v'ra'a Sha'ul kol ish gibor v'cho ben chayil v'ya'asfeu elav. So this was a war that continued. They were never successful in completely crushing the Plishtim. And as we said, that was dependent on the Malchut to come. And undoubtedly, this partial transition in which Yonatan becomes now mechuber to the approach of David, and Sha'ul is very taken aback at this stage already by Yonatan.
Yonatan. And there's a certain hatred and competition that is exposed later when he attempts to throw a spear at Yonatan with the story of David. It's clear that the loss of the war to the Plishtim, in other words, the loss of the total war against the Plishtim, and the fact that the war goes on, Kol Yemei Shaul, is bedafka because of what it was that Yonatan had identified as being an impropriety for the Malchut, and therefore he wasn't given the rights to destroy the Plishtim at that point. Wow. It's David who destroys the Plishtim.
What was his right?
The whole story, this whole business with his control, the cherem, and the distance, and the not recognizing what needed to be for the Bnei Yisrael, and that this is what Yonatan was so sensitive to, was wrong. It's the wrong thing. Al-charet ha-aretz. It's very strong words, right? And if Yonatan, his son, identified it in that way and was embarrassed by it, because you see that he's upset by his father's anoga, he's attempting to cover for it in a sense, or, you know, that it's, it, clearly it was a wrong thing, and I understand it was a wrong thing. That this became now the reason that there's Milchemet Plishtim all the years of Shaul, and he's never able, because of this story, to totally crush the Plishtim.
Achar means a lot of
It means to turn things to be improper, ugly. Ocher Yisrael. It's a horrible word.
When something is cool, it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Things are no longer...
Like the
Mayim. That's the way the Medrash puts it. Is the way Chaim Lajis said it. That's what Yaakov said. Acharta. He used the same language. He says, as Rashi says over there, Mayim hayut sulim v'acharta. Everything was clear. Our path was clear. You muddied the water, as we say in English. Right? So it's the same letters as ki'ur. Right? Ugliness.
Right, but at the same time, I mean, it's a very deep statement. It's a hard argument.
Sure is.
I mean, like, for the people themselves, I mean, their vision, everything is now
dim. Dim. Right?
Nebulous.
It's against the or. Against all of the or, and it ends with the ner, with the stress on how his whole army and everything that he attempted to do was ner, ben ner, ben ner, the brother of ner, so, what? And there you go. Akarat aretz.